Tonight, we begin inside Malvern Manor, a quiet structure in small-town Iowa with a reputation that refuses to be forgotten. Guests talk about voices from thin air, footsteps in empty hallways, and moments where something unseen seems to be stalking you. Our guide into this mystery is Josh Hurd, author, filmmaker, longtime paranormal investigator, and the man who felt such a strong pull to this place. He eventually became its caretaker. Josh didn't just study Malvern Manor from the outside. He stepped fully inside its history, its hauntings, and the questions that still linger within its walls. What is it about this place that continues to draw investigators, skeptics, and believers alike? And why do so many people leave feeling as though they have made connections and have been changed? That story starts now. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is our guest for Hour 1, Josh Hurd. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. And I thought this would be a great way to kind of kick off the new year. As I've been mentioning to our listeners around the world, I purchased a haunted property myself, the Haunted Palmer House Hotel, Restaurant, and Pub up in Sauk Center, Minnesota, and it's been great. And the fact that you and Daniel Klass joining us an hour or two to talk about the haunted Hinsdale House, we all have this same connection in the fact that we felt pulled to these locations, that we felt that not only were they important, but that we had to be part of it. We had to make sure that the caretaking and the history remained what it should be. Talk to me a little bit about your introduction to Malvern Manor and how it came to be.
So it was, I like to call it a happy accident, right? I was across the street. I was filming my first documentary film. And across the street is this really cool place that it's called the Classic Cafe. And the Classic Cafe has its own slew of paranormal happenings going on there. And they were kind enough to say, yeah, come on over and investigate or what have you. And, you know, bring your cameras and all that crap, which we did. However, upon entering, I knew this was going to go south pretty quick because there is a bar that is attached to the Classic Cafe. And it was a Friday evening. It was a pretty rough week for a lot of folks, I would assume. They were kind of loud. So, I mean, with noise contamination and all of that stuff, like, it was an impossibility to do a proper investigation.
Right.
So I went outside and there was this gentleman out there and he was like, what's with all the cameras? And I was like, awesome. This guy is going to think that I'm caw-caw, duty crap crazy. And so I told him what we were doing. I was upfront and honest. And he said, that's really cool. I don't believe in that stuff. However, I own this building. There's a lot of weird things that happen, blah, blah, blah. And I said, interesting. He's like, I mean, the place is like 10,000 square feet. It used to be a hotel and then it was a nursing home. And then it was more of like a group home for mentally handicapped people. And I was like, this is all sounding way too good to be true. Where is this place? And he's like, it's just right there across the street. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure you and I just became best friends. You know what I mean? So
I love the fact that he tells you, hey, I don't really believe in this stuff, but I've got a 10,000 square foot crazy mansion that's got all kinds of activity going on. I can't say it's paranormal, but it obviously isn't normal.
Right.
Do you think he was just trying to talk himself down that he didn't own a haunted property? He just had some weird experiences. Doesn't mean it's ghosts.
Yeah, like possibly, maybe. But he did say like that he couldn't explain some of the things away, you know, and that was the big thing for me. And he was more than kind. And he said, you're more than welcome to cruise on over and investigate, check the place out. So in essence, he saved night one of filming for me. And we walked in there and man, it was so crazy. Like everything that was going on, the disembodied footsteps, the voices that we were hearing. I was like, are you out of your mind? This is crazy. I fell in love with the building. And it would be like, I would just kind of call this guy just on a random Wednesday night and be like, hey, can I go walk around your creepy place or whatever? And I would always like flip him.
So you make it sound so salacious. You're like calling him up to ask his teenage daughter on a date kind of weirdness.
Right. No kidding. But he was always like very, very kind. And it's like, yeah, you can do that. And I, you know, one night I was just like, you know, I really don't think you understand what you have here. I'm like, there are people, other weirdos just like myself that would, you know, pay you good money, in fact, to come and explore, talk to the walls for a few hours or whatever. And he agreed to open the doors for that purpose. And I mean, just using like, you know, social media and word of mouth, basically it became something bigger. And then he had to move. He had to leave. And I was like, just give me 3 weeks to figure something out here, please. And luckily we were able to, you know, keep the building doing what it was already doing. And so I find myself quite fortunate in that respect, to be able to be a part of something like you were alluding to, right? I mean, be a part of something that's bigger than us, you know?
You went into this building on a whim. The gentleman just says, hey, I don't believe in the paranormal, but I got a building across the street, kind of strange, but it's got a rich history.
Yeah.
You go in, and I know you have investigated with, you have been around you for years. You are much like me in the fact that you are a skeptical believer. You have experiences. You know that the paranormal exists, that high strangeness is all around us, but not every knock and ping is the Exorcist, right? I mean, exactly. There's something else to what's going on here. When you go in and immediately are met with footsteps, disembodied voices, recordings, everything going off, how big of a mind shift was that for you?
It was impressive for me. Specifically, I remember taking my brother and putting him in the basement of this building. And because I mean, this is what I'm doing. But I was like, okay, here's the deal. You're just going to sit here on this chair for 1 hour, and this camera and that camera are going to be recording you for 1 hour. That's it. I'm going to come back within an hour and collect you. That's it. Just see what happens. What was interesting is that, I mean, within the first like 12 or 13 minutes, there was a cough, and it sounded like a female, like a very small girl is what it sounded like. We had no females with us, in fact, that night anyway. So I thought that was interesting. But he then asked, was that you coughing? Can you do it again? And it did it again, like very intelligent, in fact. So then he asked for a third time. And of course, nothing happens because it never does. But it was interesting to me because that's what really threw me for a loop. I'm like, there's something interesting there with that. Then we started digging into the history of the place. And what was interesting is that we found that one of the owners of this building, this was back in, I believe, 1910. One of the owners of this building, his last name was Stamper. He had a young daughter, 12 years old. Her name was Eunice Stamper. And there was an outbreak of diphtheria around December, of 1910. And
got it, Josh. We have to hold on in a second here. I don't want to get too deep into the story because I really want to flesh it out. We only have about a minute left in this. Malvern Manor, we do have a link for it on today's program guide. And I encourage you, if you are a paranormal investigator or just fancy yourself a paranormal fan and would like to go see these places, this is an amazing place for you to go visit. It's in Iowa. So for those of you in Minnesota, Chicago, Wisconsin, Nebraska, it's a close drive, a good opportunity to go see and put yourself into a place that has a rich history of strange goings on. Plus, you can actually learn about what this building was used for and why it might be still haunted. Josh Hurd just started to tantalize us a little bit with one of the stories, and we will return to that when we come back from the break. Again, if you know of any untapped resources, strange locations, places that you think should be examined, then let me know. You can email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. And who knows, we may feature your story next, right here on the Paranormal 360. Josh Hurd, our guest this hour, Malvern Manor in Iowa, is the focus of this hour's talk, talking about the haunting and the strange situations that have taken place there. All right, Josh, let's rewind a little bit, start to set this story for us now that we have a little bit more time to let it breathe.
Sure, of course.
I got so entranced in the first part, I forgot how quickly that segment goes. But please, you've got all the time in the world this time.
Well, I do know that, like I said, it was about December of 1910. And this gentleman, Stamper, his daughter was 12 years old at the time, Eunice Stamper. And there was an outbreak of diphtheria that originated from the train, which was right outside the front door, in fact. And a lot of people, like, this building kind of became ground zero. And I mean, a lot of people contracted diphtheria, and which is a very aggressive type of disease. But a lot of people had to be quarantined to this building because of that. And sadly, Eunice Stamper at 12 years old contracted diphtheria and passed away on December 31st of 1910. So New Year's Eve is when she passed away.
Wow.
And what was interesting is then you start to kind of look around the building, right? The room inside of Malvern Manor that I actually use for my studio is a very large, expansive type of room. I have a lot of crap. So, but directly below that or whatever, directly below this studio is where my brother James had captured those coughing fits from this little girl. And of course, again, that was well before that we even knew that a girl named Eunice Stamper contracted diphtheria or any of that stuff. Like, we had no idea. So it very well could have been history and paranormal activity correlating for a moment. Maybe, possibly, I don't know. But I do find it interesting. And I could talk for days about things like that, you know, like just different stories like that.
And it's great when you have an experience and then find out later that history matches up with this experience you've had, names that come through, stories and elements of those tales that long have been thought to be fables and folklore that end up popping right into place. And you realize, oh my gosh, this isn't just campfire tales. There is so much more. Have you got much in the way of visual evidence throughout Malvern Manor? I know it's ripe with the audio and the footsteps and direct voice phenomena, but what about seeing things?
So visually, like, I will say, like, and sometimes, again, you and I are very much alike in the respect that it's going to take a lot for us to just be like, oh my God, like that was 100% definitively paranormal, whatever. But there are certain things that happen. Physical manipulation of objects. You know what I mean? It's like an inanimate object should not just be able to move, a ball just rolling across the floor. Light switches being physically manipulated on, off, the pull chains that would control some of them as well. Like, it's very interesting when you're experiencing this and seeing this happen for yourself. Of course, there's this giant, what people just call the shadow man, right? I have seen this entity or whatever numerous times. I have no idea the antecedent of this. I don't know what is causing this or who this gentleman even was. Now, I have a fair idea, but I don't know definitively who this gentleman is, you know, or why we're experiencing this.
As you start talking about this large shadowy figure, I noticed something different in you than in the rest of our conversation. There's a hesitation, almost like, are you afraid of speaking of him?
So
you'll conjure him.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I am sitting inside of the place right now, right? And it just makes you wonder if they're listening. And that is one thing that I always try to do. I'm never provoking in any way. I certainly don't want to do that. I'm like, this is still their place. I'm just here for a drop of the bucket of time, but it's interesting to me. I always try to come up with respect towards them all. But so I do try to watch my mouth, like, on occasion when it comes to this place.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think about that when I first took possession, that's a weird word to use in this case, but of the Palmer House, the first stop I made was to go upstairs to Lucy and Raymond's room, two of the most well-known spirits at the Palmer House. And I just opened the doors and I said, hi, guys, it's me, Dave Schrader. I've been here hundreds of times. I'm the new caretaker of the Palmer House, and I will protect you. I will make sure that you are always shown respect and there will never be challenges and nastiness. So please, you know, let's work together. I've got employees and family and friends coming through this building, and I'll show respect. But you do forget you're in the building and I'm telling stories down at the bar. And, you know, these ghosts are not beholden to one space, one area, one room. And you do need to be respectful of the fact that you're not talking about a trained seal you saw at the zoo. You're talking about real activity with real human energies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that sometimes that gets lost with some people. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to point fingers or anything like that, but I will say that there are sometimes that people do come in here and they're It's very obvious what they're here to do. And it's just to maybe film some content for a specific channel of some sort that they may have, right? And it becomes obvious to me that they already know the narrative they're going to tell. And so they're just there to shoot the place, you know, and film the place or whatever, and do what they need to do, apparently. I don't know. I'm hopeful that the building, you know, performs for them. But at the same time, it's like, but you're not even sitting and asking questions. You're not asking. I mean, like for this building specifically, one of the best things you can do is go and sit inside of a room and just be like, what'd you do today? How was your day? Like, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing tomorrow? Like, just general conversation seems to get you further with this than just, you know, kicking in the door, like guns ablazing, saying like, show yourself and all that stuff. It doesn't really work here. You know?
No. And right. In that case, I do love that you're respectful. You treat them like you would any friend or relative that's there visiting, a resident of this location. We forget about that a lot of times, right? And it's, we want answers because we're trying to make sense of, why are you here? Are you afraid? Is there something frightening that comes next that you don't want to go to? So I understand the repetitive nature of some of the questions, but you're right. Just, it's got to be kind. Sometimes I've just asked them, do you have a favorite game or a favorite song? I'll play a song for you. Or yes. Do you like music? I'll play some music. And we've played music before and have gotten really incredible response to it. Sometimes we've played old time music and laid a recorder, and what you hear is you might hear Elvis singing Blue Christmas, and over the top of them, you hear what sounds like a bar full of drunk men singing Blue Christmas with it. And you're like, what? This is what?
It is so great though. But yeah, like what, I mean, I love the old timey type stuff. And one of the coolest things that I've noticed is that they love music around here. I'll get out the guitar, I'll play some songs, I'll sing whatever. Sometimes they sing back. It's amazing. They love Buddy Holly. They love that really good like rock and roll from like the 50s and 60s. You know what I mean? That good stuff. They love that stuff.
That's awesome. When you can find those, we call them trigger moments and things to help inspire the spirits to come forward. And when you think about it, those moments of levity and laughter may be something far away for them at this point. So bringing them in and inviting them in and playing the music that they loved or the music that they like now. You know, I've investigated hauntings where they know that this ghost is 85 years old, but he loves Anthrax. Whenever they play it, they seem to get a much happier ghost. Very strange. Malvern Manor on tap. We will be back with Josh Hurd, our guest, when we return to the Paranormal 360. Hey, are you looking for a place where history checks in with you? Well, in 2026, make your getaway one to remember at the Palmer House Hotel, Restaurant, and Pub in Sauk Center, Minnesota. From cozy rooms and incredible food to handcrafted drinks and a welcoming hometown atmosphere, the Palmer House feels like coming home, even if it's just your first visit. And yes, the stories are true. Some guests never really leave. We have friendly spirits, rich history, and unforgettable stays that await you. Book your room, grab a table, raise a glass, and experience why so many return in body and in spirit. And you might even bump into me, the new owner of the Palmer House Hotel, Restaurant, and Pub. I'm Dave Schrader. Visit thepalmerhousehotel.com and start planning your 2026 escape today. That's thepalmerhousehotel.com. We're back, and today we have our guest for the remainder of this hour is Josh Hurd. We're talking about Malvern Manor right in our adjoining state of Iowa. And Josh and I have had a chance to investigate and lecture and do presentations at many different events together. He is the caretaker of Malvern Manor. He is the one that feels called, like I did to the Palmer, to make sure that this doesn't get forgotten. It becomes bigger than who we are, what we're doing in the world of the paranormal. I can't put words to it. I'm wondering if you can. You're very eloquent when it comes to this. Why this need for us to protect these places and keep them alive? Why not just raise them to the ground and let the spirits free?
Yeah, you know, it's a question that I ask a lot. Just of the spirits when I'm just here changing the toilet paper or doing laundry or what have you. You know what I mean? Like I ask, I was like, you know, you can leave. Like you can leave. You're not being held here in any way. And across the board, I get, this is home. And that to me, I'm like, you know, it's interesting to me because in what could only be considered like a fairly chaotic life that these people led, like whether you get along with the person across the hallway from you or what have you, you know, you're still going to bed roughly the same time, getting up at roughly the same time, having meals together. There's camaraderie in that. And I think this was a very large sense of family. I think that this was, in fact, home. This was the only sense of normalcy that they had. And I think that's why they stay. And I'm hoping then that I can, I'm hoping that I can just, I don't know, accommodate them however they need to still let it feel like it's home for them.
Do you ever feel that the spirits, I mean, this place has been around a long time and there have been many different stories told. Do you feel that the spirits from the different generations and eras are aware of one another?
That's an interesting question. And I'm not sure, to be fair. It's very interesting to me that we can get something like an EVP of somebody speaking in a way that we don't necessarily speak in any longer, right? Using words in certain ways that we don't. And I mean, for God's sake, I've gotten EVPs of people that are like, "Sup, dude?" I'm like, "Okay, well, you might be from the 90s, you know what I mean?" Or whatever. It's interesting. Like, I don't know if they are aware of one another or if they are just kind of going about their day-to-day life, if this is still running as a hotel and is it still running as a nursing home or what have you. You know, I have no idea, but it fascinates me as to who we could be talking about or who we could be talking to and when we're talking to them.
Have you ever had past residents or employees stop in to share their history and stories?
I certainly have. And I love when I get those knocks on the door. People that'll come here and they're like, you know, I used to work here. I was like in my 30s or whatever. And they're like, "Do you mind if I walk around?" I'm like, "Not at all. Do you mind if I walk with you?" You know what I mean? Just tell me about everything that you remember, please. And, you know, it's so funny, especially when it was like the nursing home specifically. Like it's right down the middle, black and white, 50-50. It is, "This was the best job I ever had," or "This was the worst job I ever had." There was one sweet woman who came in here and she was well into her 80s probably. And she goes, "Sweetheart, I am sorry. I have to go." And she had only been inside for maybe 10 minutes. And I was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "I'm fine. It just, it feels like there are eyeballs all over me right now." And I was like, "Okay." I'm like, "That's interesting. I'm about as psychic as a rock in the driveway." You know what I'm saying? It's like, not at all. But apparently she was tapped into something far, far bigger than me. I was like, "This is interesting."
That she Have they ever revealed to you that when they were there, they were aware of a spiritual nature?
One in particular did. And this one person was saying things like, consistently across the board, worked overnights, he did, and would say that the noises, the voices, the everything that he was hearing, like the footsteps walking up to the nurse's station and nobody's there, like just very odd things. And it really wigged him out. So the turnover rate in this place was almost laughable. I mean, they were going through employees like water, if I'm being honest. So it was quite interesting.
I love, there's a book that was written about this area and this hotel, the Palmer House. And the two gentlemen that contributed to the book dance around the paranormal subject. They never call it ghosts. But they would talk about just strange things that took place. And I've, since visiting this place over 19 years, I've met former owners, former employees, former residents throughout the time. And it is strange when I ask, "Oh, did you have paranormal experiences?" They almost kind of look around like, "I don't know if I should talk about them. I don't want to upset the apple cart." And I'm like, "No, we have a great relationship here with the spirits. What was your experience like?" And hearing from people, these stories that come forward is kind of heartwarming because you realize that, you know, you and I look at ourselves as the caretakers. The true stewards are these spirits that continue to watch over this property and help it to flourish and keep that history alive.
Definitely.
Are you ever frightened or have you ever been while you've been in Malvern Manor?
Numerous times. This has happened to me numerous times. Like, I mean, just even last week, in fact, there was I was on the phone with a friend and I was just doing my day-to-day crap and I'm walking around and I go upstairs and I'm right at the top of the stairs. A very loud bang happened. I wigged out. My friend was like, maybe you should record some stuff. And I did. And then the bang happened again, like while I was recording. And I did a quick OTF right after that. And I was done. I was absolutely done. I was like, that's enough for the day.
And for people that don't know, OTF means on the fly. It is just a quick little rejoiner where you talk to camera, tell them about the experience you just had, how it made you feel, what you sensed, what you heard, any of that. It's just a little TV jargon. Those are the little vignettes you see on paranormal TV shows when they're doing something, then they cut to one of us sitting in a studio setting talking about it. We've got about a minute left in this segment, Josh. If there's one thing you want people to experience at Malvern Manor and take away, what would it be?
Honestly, just being here. And it's a very odd experience because you will come here, you will investigate. Whether something happens or not, I promise you, the building will call back out to you. The building, you will get this weird itch where you're like, I gotta go back. And that's the exact same itch that I had when I would call that gentleman and be like, hey, can I investigate the place, you know, on a weird Wednesday night or whatever. That's what I want people to experience for themselves. I want them to feel that connection to the location.
You got very Liam Neeson there for a minute. You will come back. You will feel things.
You will feel things.
All right. We're going to take our final break of this hour with Josh Hurd. We'll come back. We'll discuss a little bit more and some of the more shocking and unusual experiences that have occurred at Malvern Manor. We'll discuss that next. Welcome back to the program. This is Paranormal 360, your home for all things strange and supernatural, every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. I'm your host on this journey, Dave Schrader. Tonight, we're talking about haunted locations and the reasons that they exist and why some people feel drawn to them. Next hour, we'll be joined by Daniel Klass. We'll talk about the haunted Hinsdale House in New York. Right now, we're visiting with our friend Josh Hurd from Malvern Manor in Iowa. Before the break, I asked, what would be some of the more unusual and strange experiences? Aside from the occasional cough or shadowy figures moving through the hall, what have been some real life-changing moments for people that you've recorded over the years?
So one of the biggest ones that kind of comes to mind immediately is this. There's a very loud, disembodied scream. And this scream is certainly female. It's certainly coming from inside of the building because the noise is reverberating off the walls. And it is quite jarring. And now this has happened to, roughly a dozen different teams or whatever. And it's happened to myself included. It is the weirdest thing ever. It's always coming from what we call like the nursing home wing. Some people call it the shadow man hallway or what have you, but it's on the opposite side. It's emanating from this woman. And I could only assume that this is coming from Rebecca's room. Now, Rebecca is a very interesting case. Rebecca should not have been here, but given the time, back in the day, like she was dropped off here by her husband, which apparently was something you could just do for very trivial reasons, as minuscule as, oh, she reads too much. She has too many thoughts of her own, you know, things like that, like very weird things. But I mean, she was quite young, mid-30s, but obviously thought my husband no longer loves me. He doesn't find me attractive. And now this became quite the obsession for her. Now she would stand at the sink, looking into the mirror. She would pluck the hair out of her head one by one by one, which today we know that that's called trichotillomania. It's also on the OCD spectrum of things. It's also insanely freaking common. Like I can name you like five or six.
Well, no, you're like, you're so, oh, we all know it's known as.
Oh, sorry.
What is the, what is the word?
Trichotillomania. Now it's also, it is on the OCD spectrum of things, but it is very common. This happens to so many people. And because of her quote unquote obsessive types of behaviors, she was medicated because of this. Now, some people argue, oh, she was, you know, heavily medicated. And I'm like, well, I'm not a doctor. I can't speak to that. I have no idea, in fact. What I do know is she didn't respond well to meds. Stops eating, stops drinking, things like that. Now, it does fascinate me the most because she seems to be drawn more to female investigators. In fact, if a male walks into her room, it can just flatline the activity. I think she just simply does not trust men, probably rightfully so, if we're being honest. So every time that I do enter her room, I'm knocking on the door. I'm asking for permission, or I'm just simply telling her what I'm doing and how long that's going to take, and then I'll be out of her way. But it is interesting, and I do believe that it is her that is screaming. I think that we, in some way, are just irritating her, or maybe scaring her in some way. Like, a lot of people like to think that, you know, we as paranormal investigators are walking around the dark asking questions or doing what have you. Maybe we're the ghosts. If they're just going about their day-to-day life, what if we're the ghost? What if we are truly scaring her? And I mean, that's also quite feasible, in my opinion, that that could be happening.
Right.
And so maybe that is what is going on. And I'm not sure, but I do believe that the screaming specifically is emanating from Rebecca herself.
For people that are maybe having a hard time wrapping their head around it, obviously the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman really helped to kind of convey that. But I've been talking about this time slip phenomena for 20 years now. It's very unusual, but why do we always attribute a haunting to something from our past? Maybe what you're hearing in your own home is you 5 years from now tripping down the stairs, you yelling for the dog, you hammering on the wall to put the new pictures up, or the next family. So we very well could be reverberating in these energetic patterns and creating our own hauntings. You know, I've always said that why does a residual haunting know to fire off when somebody dies? If it's truly just a memorized bit, shouldn't that be playing all the time? And it most likely is. But we're used to the sounds grandma makes when she's here, the sounds dad makes when he comes upstairs scratching himself and farting as he goes to bed, right? So when we hear it, we don't think twice about it without realizing maybe dad's still asleep on the couch and we're hearing the ritual in our room and just assuming it's dad, right? And once we've removed that person from the mix and we hear it, we realize this has been going on. And, you know, I just think there's a lot more to that element of hauntings than we give credit to.
I love that. I love that analogy, bro. That was really good.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're really well said. I like that.
We've got about two and a half minutes left together before we jump over to talk with Daniel Klass. But what else would you say is probably one of the more unusual moments here? You've got a time slip phenomena. You've got some screaming. You've got strange things that are going on. Do you ever have, will you walk out of a room and walk back in and the chairs are scattered in a different direction?
So I have certainly walked out of the kitchen before, and I've noticed that the cabinet doors have then opened themselves. And I mean, there's roughly 20 of them in there. And I mean, that hits different. That's usually like, okay, I'm going to go outside and have it, you know, have a smoke type of thing, you know, for me. But it's weird that, I mean, I've been on tours before where I've been like describing different things or whatever. And as we're leaving the room, a wheelchair is following us out. Now, that's usually for just the regular daytime tours. That's usually enough for them. Like, they're just like, okay, tour's over. I got my 10 bucks worth type of deal. And they're gone. They're out the door and they'll never come back. Like, I know this too. But things like that do happen here. And of course, they don't happen every day. It's like they might happen once in a month, maybe once every 6 months. Who knows? And that's the fun part of it for me, is always trying to maybe correlate, like, what is the antecedent of a haunting? What is happening here truly to kick this into motion? This activity itself, what is it that is causing all of this? And that's the fun stuff for me.
Well, become part of the fun stuff. Go visit Malvern Manor. Go see Josh Hurd. Go spend some time at these locations, because this is history that's demanding to be remembered. And you don't want to cheat yourself of that opportunity. You never know what you might come into contact with, and you never may feel the same again, because you'll finally realize the world and the afterlife is so much bigger than you've ever expected. Josh Hurd helped us understand why Malvern Manor unsettles people in ways that linger, not just because of what's been reported, but because of how consistent those experiences are across years, across investigators, across people who walked in expecting nothing. History leaves its mark. Trauma leaves echoes. If Malvern Manor teaches us anything, it's that the past doesn't always stay where we leave it, and some doors, once opened, don't fully close. We'll be back with more and introduce you to the haunted Hinsdale House of New York with our guest Daniel Klass right after this.